You're listening to the MC Vocal Fry Podcast, your weekly dash of voice science, pedagogy, and pop culture. Coming to you from the campus of Mississippi College in Clinton, Mississippi.
Oh my God.
Because I think that could be cool.
Vocal fam. Vocal fam. What's
Are you
up?
Recording?
Yes.
He likes to start just right in the middle of like, okay, everybody, start talking while I test the
That's
mic.
That's because
I'm
Chris
definitely
Hardwick
not recording. Ha ha!
What are you talking about?
Chris Hardwick does that, and I can't even say my inappropriate joke.
Okay, so if you're gonna talk, pick up the mic and actually talk into it. Okay.
So he was lying before.
Yes.
It is not
I'm
a dead
right
thing.
Here. I mean, it's really not working otherwise for us to just hang out here.
No, I really mean for if you're going to say something, I actually pick up the mic and talk into it. This is really just existing to pick up in case we miss something. Like, in case you say something that I really want to capture.
But you really, ideally, in an ideal world, you wouldn't use this audio at all.
Right. In an ideal world, this audio will get deleted.
But
in a non-ideal
right
world, I'll basically use it to pick up Michael.
Oh, because I was going to say otherwise.
Accurate.
I feel like we're going to have to get this mic closer to him anyway, just because he's going to use it.
I'm just going
to... yelling.
Michael, pick up the mic.
I feel like what's about to happen is... Hello, everyone. It's me, Michael. That wasn't actually
that
Michael.
That's probably... have to tell them.
I've seen you do that before, and that's why I know
so
that's going to happen.
So if you tenor cackle, you don't need a mic. If you would like to make your Michael speaks poignantly, you need a mic.
I hadn't even thought about that. You do. You change. Yep. Yep. I'm going to stop now. You do that.
Indeed.
Is tenor cackle the official term?
Yes.
Okay.
It can be.
Okay, Vocal Fam, we have the largest panel in the history of Vocal Fry. This is going to be crazy. Everybody take a mic and go around the room and say hello so everybody knows who everybody is, starting with to my left.
Hey guys, it's Ashlyn. I'm back.
Hey, it's Leah.
Hey, it's Jamie.
He is so dumb.
Hi, it's Ben, sometimes referred to as Dr. Williams.
It's Michael.
And Sarah
oh,
and I
it's
are...
me. I'm Sarah.
Yes.
Know.
Okay. Very good.
I forgot.
So, what a night.
What
a night. Sarah's recital. Congratulations, Sarah. Sarah's recital is live on our Facebook for you to go back and enjoy.
It's not live.
Okay.
It was live.
It
I just
was live.
Like saying that things that exist are live. Like they weren't there and
you
now they are there.
You can watch my recital on the MC Vocal Fry podcast page. Yeah.
That is true. What she said.
That is a nice way of putting it.
So all of us saw Endgame last night. I was about to say Infinity War. Because it feels like a year ago.
Infinity Games.
Or as Sarah
said
called
earlier.
It earlier tonight.
What a dummy.
It's already been an eventful night tonight because my daughter dropped my wife's phone in the pond.
And then who fell in the pond trying to get it?
Well, I was actually trying to get
who
in the pond,
went
but
in the
thankfully
pond?
Jamie came.
And also went in the pond.
Okay, so... Since we're going to talk about Endgame, we have a very specific spoiler warning.
Oh.
Folks, listen.
Spoilers.
Basically, this movie only works once, I think. So if you have
it
not seen it, do not listen to this podcast unless you've actually watched Avengers Endgame.
Yeah. So stop now.
Spoiler.
Like, don't.
Spoilers.
Don't do it. I mean,
please,
unless you want it to be spoiled,
don't.
But... This would be a really weird way to spoil it. Like, this isn't just reading the plot. This is just hearing random people's opinions.
Yeah, well, actually,
don't
we have
it.
A list.
Listening to this first is the worst way to experience
yeah,
this.
Yeah, like, don't don't
oh,
do
yeah.
it.
Listening to this podcast before
That's
seeing this movie
like, that would
be, would
so
be
dumb.
Horrible.
The worst possible way.
To spoil it for yourself. Like, just don't. Just stop.
Yeah,
just
that would
stop.
Be horrible.
That was enough, right? Like, we've
okay,
warned them.
We've
all been
warned them. Okay, so if you have... So what we're going to do, that we've never tried to do this with seven of us, and we're going to try to keep it as a conversation, as we always do, except we actually wrote up a list of questions that I've actually shared with everyone today, which is kind of remarkable. And we're just going to go around, and we're going to hit it one by one in this order. And so let's dive in. So again, if you've not seen Endgame, please don't. We're thankful that Dr.
Please
Williams...
Please don't listen. Go see Endgame.
We're thankful that Dr. Williams came back, who was here for our first Avengers episode.
Woohoo, yeah.
Way back when, our first full Avengers episode. And then also to Jamie for hosting and Leah for hosting tonight at their beautiful
Sarah
home of Sarah.
Who else's house is this? Mine?
And Ashlyn for coming back and joining us.
It's just Leah and Jamie's house. That's much less
we're
weird.
We're such good friends.
So anyway, and Michael, who's traveled the whole way from West Virginia back to Mississippi for Sarah's recital.
Oh, yeah, because they probably wouldn't know otherwise, because we have been Skyping with Michael.
Yes, but Michael's actually here.
He is literally in the room.
It is.
Where
it was. I would like to say that it was hilarious when we were when we announced to Sarah. I was like, "I'm coming for your reception. You're coming to see Endgame." Oh yeah, my recital's that day too. That was nice.
That's sort of how that went. Yes,
that's sort
of
how the past month and everything has been.
All right, we're not going to go in order every question, and we don't even have to all answer every question. But so let's just start it off. Whoever wants to grab a mic first, did it hit your expectations? Let's start there. Did this movie, given that we've been building it up for 12 years and 22 movies, did it hit your expectations?
Yes, in a sense, because like honestly, by the time we had all of the trailers, I wasn't sure what I expected anymore. I'm not sure I really had set expectations. And so, yeah, it easily hit them all since I didn't really... I like to not have any because I think that's how we end up with situations like with The Last Jedi where people get all mad is because you so firmly have decided what this movie's going to be and how it's going to go that then when it does something different, like you're completely closed off to that idea and you're just mad. So, anyway, that's my two cents.
As I told Michael right after the movie, that battle scene was as epic as needed to be for this big of a movie.
Wow.
And that totally worked.
Wow. Yeah. The whole last hour, the epicness was epic.
Amazing.
I agree with Sarah that I had no expectations for like the overall plot.
Yeah.
But I did have expectations for wanting the characters to come to a gratifying end. Like that was my buy-in for the movie is I wanted everything to end like... and be wrapped up in a nice little bow that all the characters got the ending that they deserved. And it did that. So, yes. Very much
except
enjoyed.
For, like, one person.
Vision.
I was going to say Hulk. Natasha.
Natasha.
We'll get there.
Like,
okay, we'll get there.
We'll get there.
We'll get there.
I disagree. But
I just want to say, like, that was the only, like, unsatisfying end for
me. As far as expectations, I'd like to say... I was actually... So I try to bridge a healthy medium between Leah and you two. Where
I don't know what we're talking about.
Leah speaks for the lay people, the normal people, basically the majority.
I don't
Sarah
it.
And I speak for you people.
I exist,
Michael, you're further on that.
I exist. Well, here's the thing. Okay, maybe I just try not to be Perna because the Perna will read everything out there, every non-spoiler item that's out there. And so I try not to do that, and I really try not to watch too many trailers, but I am invested emotionally. And so, because I want to enjoy this art in a pure way, and I'll say, expectation-wise, I don't think I was expecting a heist movie. Like, I did read that one, but I was, like, thinking about that. I was, like, I was really expecting what they... I'm glad they... I mean, there's a reason they changed the title from Infinity War Part 2, because it really
was... It was not a war movie. Because, Infinity War was a war movie.
Right, this was not.
This was not.
And so... whatever I and so like when I left Infinity War thinking way back to then and then over the last year this movie was not what I thought I was going to get after that movie but it's not in a bad way just a different way.
Yeah, I agree that the whole heist aspect of it was something that I had not really considered. I expected like a big fight that broke down into a bunch of small like individual fights with Thanos, but that overall, like, as far as just a fun superhero movie to go see, about 85% of the movie was just a great, just enjoyable, like, I love watching this movie.
But
and
you
then
paid
you got
for
the,
it.
Right. But
you
then you
pay
for
dearly.
All those laughs and all those, like, oh, that's cool moments.
That's the people
and you
who
cry.
Put their dogs on leashes.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're looking at neighbors now, apparently.
There's a tiny mom
walk
walking around.
Tiny dogs in the middle of the road.
Well, she'll just...
don't think that's a bad idea.
Oh, my.
And they'll just let it out, too, to, like, wander. And so periodically it'll just show up at our house. Or like people will think it's lost and just like take it. And
yeah,
I'm like,
last week Sarah and I pulled up and this woman was like walking in the street and was like, do you guys know whose dog this is? Like she had picked it up thinking it was lost. And we were like, yeah, it's two doors down. They just don't put their dogs on leashes.
Oh.
They just let them out.
Okay.
And they're tiny. They're going to get hit by a car. It's just going to happen.
Most bad dogs can't get it.
Well, I'm just saying you don't see
but
them.
But you don't
as
see
well.
Them because there have been multiple times when I've been backing
sure,
out
yeah,
and
yeah,
almost
yeah.
not seeing mm-hmm. the little rat.
Like a little shih tzu or something.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Or is it a little
min pin or something?
It's
or?
A little white, fluffy rat thing.
It's a pom pom.
It's a pom pom. Mm-hmm.
Did anyone else find this movie to be way more, the first 2 hours, not the third hour, but the first 2 hours to be a lot more chill than you expected them to be?
Yes. I was expecting so many, I just thought they were going to be pulling for the tears like the whole way. Because I had seen enough reactions from people that had seen it that were non-spoiler reactions, mm-hmm. but just the like, oh, I cried like five or six times, like all these different things about crying and like you make sure you bring tissues that I really thought they were going to go for our emotions the whole time. And with it being the end mm-hmm. of such a long buildup, I really thought they were going to go for our emotions, our tears. And I kind of liked that they didn't because it kind of proved in a way that you can have a big satisfying finish to something like this and you don't have to just kill everyone.
Yeah, I expected, I think when I talk about Infinity War Part 2 or not, I think I really mean in terms of the tone and pacing. It did not, I was expecting Infinity War's
Infinity
tone.
War is relentless.
Right, and I was expecting,
it's relentless.
I was expecting that. It didn't have to be a war movie, but I expected that relentless tone and pacing, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
What I think the difference between this one and Infinity War is like, up until Infinity War, the Avengers are just an unstoppable force.
Right.
And then they have to introduce this character that is stronger than the Avengers. Yeah. And so you have this like implacable, that's not the word, but march towards like the final combat, like combat.
Some might
inevitable.
Say
inevitable.
Inevitable.
That's what I was thinking of. And it's just like inexorable, inevitable, like
inevitable is the word you want to use.
I like it.
Towards
all
the final fight.
I like it.
Whereas this movie, it's just like, it's despair and aftermath. It's PTSD as opposed to anxiety.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. But I feel like you could. Oh, sorry.
The one thing I would say is I'd be very interested in seeing these two movies back to back.
I can't wait. I've already pre-ordered this movie on iTunes.
Great.
So,
and the reason being, I think the end of the last movie was so down.
Yeah.
The end of the thing where you just go out, feel it, walking out, just feeling just at, like the bottom fell out, right? And
this
picked up. Right, and this one picked up right where that was and just kept it going.
Which
for
is very
2 hours.
Interesting.
I feel like.
Go ahead.
The first, you can almost divide it into like sections. Like the first hour is like, I mean, it's kind of bleak, you know? It's kind of like, hey, look, half of the world is gone, and look how everything has changed, and everyone's really discouraged, and like even the Avengers are like, what can we even do? And then, like, the second hour was kind of when you have this more chill, like, they're hopeful, they're doing something, but it's still not quite as, it's not quite the high pressure that then, like, the end is.
Did any of y'all feel like the first, basically until they killed Thanos, could have been, like, an epilogue to the previous movie? Like, almost like it was missing, even with, like, the music, because, you know, you end Infinity Wars, and you've got kind of Thanos' theme, and it ends on that weird, like, majory note, and then all of a sudden,
if I never hear the Vormir theme again, I might be okay with that.
Well,
I'm just
okay,
gonna straight up
so
say
we come
it.
Back, and then it ends in a more final just cadence. I mean, it and you realize, like, oh, this is the end of the Thanos storyline that we had in the last movie. It's killed, it's finished. And I just felt like almost like that could have just been with the other movie.
I felt like the first 2 hours of this movie could have gone two ways. Basically, it could have been what it was, what we watched, because it was a bunch of information that we needed to get to where we got for the last hour.
Mm.
Or they could have made another 21 movies out of those first 2 hours of the movie. Like, because basically, in a way, it was like we relived so many of the first 21 films in the first 2 hours of this movie.
That is true.
Right.
Avenger, I mean,
we went through Captain America in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, like, you know, like we, so I, That I thought was, but we'll keep going. So obviously one of the things that was big in this movie was, you know, were the Easter eggs, the callbacks, the letting us relive these great memories. For example, what I mean by this is like the moment where we went back to Battle for New York and we got to see the circle up, you know, again, you know, like I'm talking about that. So like, what was your favorite callback from the movie?
Anyone?
I like the moment with Thor's mom. Because going back and kind of imagining that happened during the movie. Because like that, now the time sequence is fixed. I mean, never changed, altered, whatever. Just to imagine that was going on in that whole period and we didn't know. So sweet. Really
it
nice
makes
moment.
You want to rewatch all Dark of those
World
movies.
Of all things.
Well, and I agree. That was mine as well. Is that you wonder if Thor actually gives his mother what she needed to hear to then go and die. Like, and whether he's
gut wrenching,
right?
That's how you do a callback, people. You redeem an otherwise unredeemable failure.
Yeah.
How are we all emotional about Dark World?
Gets me, guys.
Sunday, this is how I spent my Easter. All right, loving Jesus, and then I came home from church and I watched 5 movies with friends.
Oh my god.
Two of my friends said, let's watch all 3 Thor movies. We watched the first one. We were in a food coma because we ate during the first one, and we all slept through the second one. And then we watched the third one and laughed a lot. That's how little we cared about that movie. And now I'm like, maybe I need to go actually not sleep through that movie.
Oh my gosh. Any favorite callbacks? Favorite callbacks?
You already said Battle for New York. That for me.
The circle up.
I've been feeling very nostalgic about that movie already. Had rewatched it before going to see this. So that was just a nice moment of, where we began.
I do love Star-Lord dancing, though. I mean, I'm just saying that.
And singing out loud.
out of tune.
Okay, can we talk about redemption? I actually liked War Machine in this movie, guys. This
what
is the first movie
the world
where I'm like, oh, you're a good character. I'm glad
Dark
they didn't
World
kill you off.
War Machine.
But like when he just turns, because like Quill's dancing, just so he's an idiot. Yes. Yes, he is.
I mean, who
saw that coming?
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't think it was possible. Oh my gosh,
it is
a puppy.
There are dogs outside. Actual puppies, apparently.
This one's way cuter than the one that was just wandering around.
Remember how cute like our dogs were when they were little puppies?
Yes.
And now?
Yes.
They're still cute, but
they're really big.
The thing about your dog is that he knows he's cute. And when I was with him, it was literally like he was like, look at me. Aren't I wonderful? Watch, now I'll roll over. Now then he looks at you, he's like, aren't you gonna pet me? Don't you think I'm great? Love me. That's what it was like. It was like I'm on set now. I'm on.
It's because his father does love him.
If you were a puppy, that would be you.
Probably.
Yes.
Okay. Next, moving on. Biggest disappointment. Biggest disappointment. And I don't mean like biggest tier here. I mean, like, what were we disappointed with that we didn't get?
I had 2 primary disappointments with the film.
Oh, okay. Go on.
And
I think one of the
largest
ones on the same
was
page
Professor
with
Hulk.
Yeah.
I was so let down by that.
I had such high expectations for that.
I may have hyped it up too much, but honestly, I felt like Professor Hulk was less than the sum of his parts. That he was not as strong as the Hulk should be.
Or as smart as Banner.
Or as smart as Banner should be.
Well,
go ahead.
I get giving up a little. We talked about this. Giving up maybe a little of each in order to combine. But it was like, he lost a lot.
Yeah, I agree. I would have rather just had regular Banner, honestly. Because that's basically who he was. He was regular Banner.
Regular Mark Ruffalo.
Well, with some like frat boy tendencies.
That's the thing. Like, with the Hulk bod and whatever, Banner lost his kind of like awkwardness that Banner always has, and he's trying to have this new personality all of a sudden,
and it didn't
work. It's neither Hulk nor Banner,
right?
And where we left off, he was still in that real identity crisis
issues,
and we didn't get the story.
No,
yeah, maybe that would have helped if we had seen the transition.
I agree. Hulk left me disappointed as well.
Although I did like in Battle for New York where they're like to smash, and he's like, this seems gratuitous.
Yeah. And goes and just
tosses a card.
That was amusing.
That was good.
But otherwise,
I was also personally disappointed a little bit that we didn't get more reference to Vision.
Yes, there was nothing.
Like, I get why they did what they did. I get that, like, I have a feeling we got what we got because Wanda's going to take some Pym particles and go back to grab him and then extract him from the timeline.
But
and
you didn't read the theory that I sent you.
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Well, it's okay. Whatever.
Oh, jeez.
It was very long.
It was very long. I will give you that. I have a friend who literally stayed up. Like, she saw the movie at like a 6 or 7 o'clock showing, stayed up until 2 when we got of our showing so she could text me this theory she had come up with.
Oh, wow.
But it's an interesting theory. So the, oh gosh, what's the Supreme Lady, Magician?
Supreme Intelligence?
No, the Sorcerer
Wizard.
Supreme.
Sorcerer Supreme.
That's it. I was trying to remember what
the
other
one.
Word. Yep, her. She had all the issues with, you know, messing up the timelines, blah, blah,
yes.
blah. And she kind of, Abby's idea was that she had made the point that, like, you have these things and they diverge and that, you know, they reconverge when the things are put back in their time slots or whatever. But what you do in the future can't affect the past. So it can't affect that for
right.
a certain period of time, there were these separate timelines that maybe then reconverged in, like, 2023 when Cap finally manages to get them all put back into their proper time slots. So does that mean that depending on each stone, like when it was taken out of time, like for one stone, the stone where, oh gosh, what was the one that we got in 1970? This movie was too complicated.
Tesseract.
No, the Space stone.
Yes.
Tesseract.
Tesseract.
So they get that stone. Let's say when that, you know, that's like a 30, oh gosh, I can't do math. That's more than 30 years. But that's a really long timeline that's a separate timeline. Like, maybe that's where these TV shows come from, are these separate kind of parallel realities that last for 50 years. One's in which Vision doesn't die.
Well, that would make a lot of sense given Loki's disappearance.
Yeah,
that's an easy out for a Loki TV show.
And an easy TV show, yes, exactly.
Easy.
Because that's a huge hole otherwise of what did Loki do when he, like, gets a hold of the Tesseract and just, like, boop, bye, guys.
You know, on disappointments, now that you say that, I hadn't thought this till just now. We did not get a resolution of, I guess Loki really did die.
I guess so.
It wasn't mentioned either way. But we didn't, and now that I'm thinking about that, I'm kind of sad that we didn't get a scene where Thor is like, well, my brother really is dead this time. But that's probably just in case they want to bring him back for
Thor 4.
For Thor 4.
You know, because
what's a Thor movie without Loki? For real.
Leave it a little open-ended.
Right.
But anyway, that's a brief summing up of her theory. I don't know. I can't explain it that well.
So if you have been listening to the podcast up to this point, I'm about to poke holes in plot because that was my disappointment.
Oh.
And so if you are still listening, please stop now. Okay, so up into this point in these movies, the science, like space age science, has been very well thought out.
Sciencey gobbledygook.
Yes.
Yes.
And there, I find two major problems with this movie. Problem number one, they had a limited number of Pym, right? And so they're in space. Past Nebula steals the Pym from present Nebula and gives it to Thanos. And supposedly, he somehow puts it in the ship system, which is how they get small to come back. However, past Nebula also comes back, but she didn't have any Pym. How did she get back and bring Thanos back? There was only one Pym.
Yeah, one round trip.
Yeah.
Yes. So how did he get back, unless she magically knew to override the system?
I think I made the leap that the Maw was a good enough magician. Remember, magic and science are the same in space. That the Maw was a good enough scientist that he duplicated the Pym particles.
It was poorly explained.
I totally agree with your point. I guess I made the... I think there were multiple things with the time travel bit, which let's go there next. But I think there were multiple things with the time travel bit that I think you had to make some leaps of faith.
Yeah.
And that was one of them. I think I made the leap that, well, they had it to analyze it. The Maw was clearly on another level of a Tony Stark-esque, Hank Pym-esque level. He could have figured it out in 5 minutes.
Or the whole point of time travel is he could have figured it out over years. Like, He has also that. He has as much time as he needs to figure out how to how to make this one thing again, and then appear at the right moment. Point. Right.
Yeah. I assumed it was just because the how does it like she was using the main console, and so that was how if just without making any major leaps that it they weren't wearing suits. They were going one way, and they were just she was just typing fancy stuff, flipping switches. Fake science main console.
So do you think that for the general theater goer, this was the next question anyway, in general, was the time travel confusing?
I think if you're a general theater goer, just like general random person off the street, no, I don't think it's confusing because I don't think they're thinking about it as much as we are.
Uh-huh.
I would agree with that.
I think they also simplified the time travel by having just those simple, the limited number of times you were going to.
Yes. And gosh, had it been like 12 scenes. Different time periods?
Right. So because it was simplified, and if you don't question the process, like you're saying, then it's not bad.
Yeah.
Most people are not sitting there like, how believable is this time traveling?
This group. No, I was able to understand in my feeble brain.
No, I wasn't.
Well, and I think, too, that on its face, like, they did it well in such a way that you can follow each little separate storyline. It's a discrete package. They have a mission, and with one exception, like, they do the mission and go back, and then one of the missions gets a second mission. And it's not until you consider the whole implication of the, like, disparate timelines where removing one of the stones creates a new timeline that you even realize that there could be more going on that you don't know about.
Right.
I felt like regarding the time travel science, it was like when they made the one statement, they're like, well, won't this do this? And they're like, well, of course not, because their past becomes your new future, and da 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 da. In my brain, that was I read that as this is fake science, people. Watch the movie. That was what I felt like was being communicated to me as an audience member.
It was. Nerdist did an interesting article today. Apparently the Russos have come forward to talk about now how much they actually base this movie off of their love for Star Trek. And all of the time travel references in Star Trek, the finale of Next Generation, the Voyager episode where Janeway goes back and meets herself 25 years later, the Search for Spock,
just him.
Star Trek.
Actually,
4.
Jamie gets it a little too.
We're space all, right now.
The rest of us are all anyway. Star Trek.
We're just shaking our heads.
Whatever. Anyway.
You're basically, oh gosh, who was it in the movie yesterday that kept trying to make the Star Trek? It was Hawkeye, wasn't it?
Probably.
No, it was Ant-Man who kept being like, you know, Back to the Future, well, Star Trek.
What does Ant-Man have?
Everything
but pop culture
I
references.
Ever knew about time travel movies.
Die Hard. Wait.
I enjoyed getting to see Paul Rudd finally age.
That was hysterical.
Right?
Did you all say they hired a different actor for the old Ant-Man and the baby and the 12-year-old Ant-Man? It was really strange. I was like, that's something I want on my resume. 92-year-old Lang. Fantastic.
Sounds good. Okay, let's go backwards. Let's actually go down one, then go backwards.
Okay.
So let's do MVP first. I feel like there should be a consensus on this, but I don't want to say it first.
No,
it's
I think
obviously
you have...
Tony.
So
there are 3 points.
Okay.
I knew the attorney was going to have something to say about this.
I would first like to say that I am also on the same page that it's clearly Tony Stark, but go ahead and lay it out for...
If somebody wants to give the wrong answer,
feel free. But no, like, without Tony, there is no time travel.
Obviously. The Hulk did not come through.
Right. Yes. The Hulk should... Professor Hulk should be able to figure out, but he didn't. So without Tony, you have no time travel. Without Tony, you have no, like, vehicle to have... Yeah, exactly. The second gauntlet. And then Tony's foresight to modify his own armor... to also act as a gauntlet because he didn't actually use the one Thanos used, and then obviously ultimately sacrificing himself for the good of everyone.
So I also found it interesting. He was sort of the one character that had extreme development in the movie. So we had Fat Thor the whole time. We had...
We'll get there. We'll get there. It's coming.
I know. We had Professor Hulk the whole time.
Yeah.
There were a lot of characters. Ronan.
Sad Natasha the whole time.
But he started out... Iron Man started out not wanting to be part of the team.
Finding his paradise. Yes.
Right. Well, he started out just very bitter before he found paradise, too.
And then even went back and revisited the whole idea of how his father was just as...
obsessed
or whatever you want to, as he might have been, and then he also took one for the team or the world.
I guess the universe.
I want to say this: if Infinity War, one might even say, if Infinity War was a movie truly about Thanos, this truly was an Iron Man movie.
Yeah, it basically was Iron Man 4 in a lot of ways,
yes,
I think.
I think so.
As much as Captain America Civil War was an Avengers movie, for example, like this Avengers movie felt like an Iron Man movie.
Yes, there's lots of other stuff in it, but it really was an Iron
Man
movie.
And I said this to them in the car on the way back last night. I felt like obviously, a big point of the entirety of the MCU to this point has been Tony's playboy nature turning into self-sacrificial nature, finally, obviously, last night in its culmination. But I thought it was important to just go back to the poster for Infinity War, where basically everybody is smaller than Tony, and he's basically pictured like Jesus. I mean, and
like
I don't say that.
Figure.
I don't mean that as a sacrilegious statement. I mean as a Christ-like figure with his arms across the poster, up and you know. I mean, he's essentially in the shape of a cross.
Clear homage.
I mean, it was a clear foreshadowing to where I think we were going the whole time. That it was inevitable that that was where we were going.
Well, and they also ended with the "I am Iron Man" line that started the whole thing, and the sound at the very
and then
end.
The clinking at the end.
Right. So they were obviously telling us.
You all left before that.
How to interpret it.
Okay, whatever.
I, number one, loved Tony's ending. The end of his arc where he has that moment with Pepper at the end. And
beautiful.
Little sweet cinnamon roll Spider-Man to quote Michael. But I want to give a second place MVP.
Please.
So if Tony's a top, I'm not arguing that. I think Nebula deserves a second
place.
Holy,
yes!
Holy, I would agree with that.
Does.
And that was so unexpected on my part. I did not expect that at all for her character. But you see her total role reversal. She's explaining Thanos, the way he thinks, the way he acts, how important these stones are, how everything's going to work. And then especially when she goes back in time and meets her past self, you really see how far she's come.
How did this movie so heavily feature Nebula and War Machine?
I just don't understand.
And work.
Nebula, hashtag marketable young female.
Love Karen Gillan. I do love Karen Gillan.
For what it's worth.
Also Captain Marvel, because Tony wouldn't have ever made it back to Earth without
That's
her.
That's a good point.
If we're going on that theory, I would like to just go back to...
Are you
going to
say Doctor Strange?
Thank you very much. Who told us all that it had to be Tony that survived.
Oh my gosh. But in that 1 minute, though, we're like...
And then
where
Strange
holds up the one finger, I was like, no!
While he's casting the spell and puts the one finger up, and then it was obvious where we were headed.
Well, honestly, he was so absent, though.
Who's Strange?
Yeah.
But I think that's intentional.
I mean, he's Stephen Strange.
I think Doctor Strange and Captain Marvel both have the potential to be... too powerful and be cop-outs.
We'll get there.
Of them had played a much bigger role,
we'll
I think
there.
We all would have felt like we had gotten cheated
that's
of the struggle.
That's further down the street.
I know, but it needed to be...
Okay, so obviously a big point of this movie was also that they were trying in the last hour to get to our feelings.
Yeah, they went there. We paid for the laughter.
Biggest cry of the night.
100%.
I'd like to hear everybody's for this. I mean, just curious.
Go that way.
Go
Let's
ahead.
Just go around.
Go, Ashlyn.
I do not cry, but
okay.
Yeah, I don't think
okay
did.
Sort of then emotional.
Yeah, I didn't really cry.
Me and Leah didn't
that
cry.
Feels.
Apparently, only three of us cried. Yeah. Whatever.
Well, you guys made a fart.
Whatever.
She's saying that we embarrassed them.
Leah started
right
before this movie. Leah said, "Don't embarrass me."
I hate to say it, but we did.
Okay.
We embarrassed her.
Fist
bump.
I think I'm not gonna say I think the most emotional is obviously Tony's ending, but my first minute of emotion where I was like, oh my goodness, was when he and Cap had that little reunion moment before the last battle. That was a really beautiful moment. I wasn't, because they had like kind of postponed it. I was like, it's not going to happen, and they brought in right then, and I was very pleased.
This might be a better question, just your biggest cry, but also your first emotional moment, because most of us might have the same biggest.
Sure.
It broke me.
I think I have a tie, One of them, I mean, and I had never seen whatever movie it was that featured Thor's mother. I don't know anything about that. Yeah. But when she was talking about, like, being the person you are rather than who you're supposed to be, that one got me a little bit. Yeah.
That was a moment.
But then also, you know, when Tony is dying and when Pepper was like, because it would have been really easy to be like, I don't know, like, why did you keep putting yourself in this? You know what I mean? Like, to be almost
which
resentful.
Which she has done before. Not resentful even, well, but just why, like, don't do this.
I love you so much. Why do you keep doing this, you know? And, you know, now they have a kid, but she was just like, we'll be okay. Now you can rest. And that one was, that one got
And that she turned Tony offline.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's important. Okay. Well,
sorry.
That's not the moment that killed me.
Yeah, so, I mean, my biggest emotional moment was, like, you realize that Tony's kind of, like, found this, his daughter that he loves, and then he goes and he meets his dad, and he has some huge growth there, and it's the only time that we've ever seen Tony, like, awkward and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then when he, like, reconnects with his daughter and is, like, doing the Iron Man, like, the video recording through the helmet, It got me. Like, his love for his daughter and all that. Because I knew he was going to die. But then, like, just all that beforehand, it got me.
So, for me, unfortunately, the one spoiler I did see ahead of time was mistakenly the words, Tony Stark's funeral. And that that kind of got
that
for me.
I knew both of the deaths. So yes. I accidentally saw a spoiler.
Oh, so you knew Black Widow, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so that one is actually
Clint
the one
that got me. Natasha, man.
So the funeral was in the same spot that Tony Stark's was. I mean, in a sense. Like, they cried out on the dock. And that moment when they were all crying together because they were seeing that she's not coming back. And I've liked her the whole time. And she's always been kind of a second position
unfortunately
character.
Which stinks.
And she sort of functioned as like a Nick Fury character in the beginning of this.
Yes.
Yeah. Coordinating the whole team. And she's such a strong character. And then she's just gone. That's it. And that was it. That was her.
She actually has one of my favorite lines from Infinity War when she first makes her first entrance and she goes, "We don't want to kill you, but we will."
Well, I think her ending is satisfying because if you go back and watch the first Avengers, she is having that meeting with Clint and she's saying, "Will you forgive me for all that I've done? Mm-hmm. Give me a second chance." And so now he's gone and done that. And so this is her giving him the second chance. Because one of them has to die.
And I don't mind it. It just still hit me really hard, especially when, because I was kind of thinking that maybe everybody except for Tony would come out alive. Mm-hmm. And when I saw, she's actually not coming back.
I said to Perna, when Cap goes back, I'm like, he said, "Who's left to get?" I said, "Nat." But that didn't happen, and I was a little upset, but it's okay.
As soon as I saw that the plane, that they were the two left going to Vormir, I was like, I was like, well, this is going to be horrible.
Can't end well.
And then when that theme played again.
And there we were. And now I'm watching Gamora fall off the dumb cliff again.
Yeah. Side note, I read something the day before about how, Easter eggs in Infinity War. And there's some blood on where before Gamora. And now we know at least partly it was her blood.
Oh.
That's horrifying.
Oh my gosh. I think we all just got feels again. No.
So, for me, this is what happened. I cried. Well, I felt. Then I felt some more. Then I cried. Then I cried silently. Then I cried with lots of, like,
and then I cried. And then I went, the emotions of Michael.
And so, but that sound really came out of me.
It really did.
Involuntarily.
It was terrifying.
When was that? I couldn't hear that.
I'm not sure.
It's something about Tony's death. I think it had to do with Spider-Man.
I think it was probably Spider-Man.
I sat next to Michael. It was when Spider-Man came up to Tony. Right before Pepper got there.
I am a little bit sad that in the future Spider-Man movies, we won't get that, like,
banter.
That Tony and Peter relationship. Yeah.
Maybe.
I have a thought.
But
one of the points hits that later.
But I'll actually say, I was already emotionally, like, broken. The moment that really broke me was when it was just Cap walking in alone, seemingly alone, against all the armies. That picture.
Okay, since you brought it up, actually, that was my most emotional moment. My most emotional moment was Cap with the broken shield by himself.
Yeah.
And that one screenshot of the entirety of Thanos' legions. And he was like, nah. I'm going to strap this shield on.
Broken though it is. Half a shield for half a world? No, it's still, the world was back by then, but he was broken, then. You know?
Oh, man. So I think my, actually, you know, yes, Tony, but I think the thing that sort of started it all out for me when I really started getting him, well, yes, and Tony and his dad, that got me.
Yeah.
But I think the moment I really started getting emotional was when I heard Sam come through the earpiece.
Ooh, that was a good moment.
And I was like, what did he say? I'm on your six? Something. Or I'm on your left or something like that. And I was like...
Oh, I bet it was left.
And then I saw the portal and I was like, oh, it's on.
So for me, the first emotional moment was the moment when I realized either Hawkeye or Black Widow was not coming. Like that was my first moment of, oh no. And I kept hoping that that would end okay somehow. That maybe the stone would decide they were worthy because they both kept trying to like sacrifice themselves.
I was hoping for that.
But that didn't happen. I was just hoping maybe someone would look down on me with favor.
You know, the point about the thing with Nat though, is I think that writing Nat that way, she was sort of pointless in the last battle. Like, she did the most valuable thing that she could have done for the... What was good is was she in that last... Not that she's not a good warrior and a good, like, hand-to-hand combat fighter, but we're talking about Valkyrie taking down giant space worms
We left Mantis alive.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a... That's a...
Like, when they're like... She's got... When they're like, she's got help, don't worry. All these people up here... And then Mantis, I literally yelled aloud in the theater, who invited you?
But do you remember, I mean, from Infinity War, like, Mantis was crucial in that moment that they almost beat Thanos.
She's just not a good fighter.
She's powerful.
But she could be critical in defeating Thanos.
Go ahead.
Maybe.
So my biggest moment, though, not surprisingly, had to do with Tony dying. It is interesting that we all, like, yes, Tony dying was a big part for all of us, but it was something different. Each one. For me, it was... You know, so he starts dying, and Spider-Man's up against him. But, like, what really killed me is that Pepper, in that moment, comes up and comforts Spider-Man. Like, the love of her life is dying in front of her eyes. She is going to have to raise this child by herself, and she still can, like, reach out and comfort somebody else. Like... seem understanding and sympathetic to Spider-Man and like is somehow able to be there for, I don't know, that
it was
me.
Almost the first time we actually saw Pepper Potts's character get any development in the history of these movies.
Yes.
Outside of Tony developing.
Yes. And that just wrecked me. There was something about that, like, I don't know, that was just, it got me good. I cried a lot. That was when I really started sobbing in earnest.
I think that was what I was trying to say, was that there was no like begging for him to stay, you know, none of that, like, don't you leave me, like, it was,
and
hey,
already looking
we're
to help
be okay.
other people.
Well, and with that, I really loved the fact that earlier in the film, she basically told him, I understand you now. Like,
she gave him her blessing.
We have this. We've had this moment. And I think she recognized, I have to let you go do this.
Well, and I think that her character, all she's asked for her the whole time is, Tony, will you choose me over the stuff?
And he was willing to.
Right, yeah. He did.
And I think that was it.
That's all she needed. And so imagine Tony, who suddenly he's trying so hard. His priorities are right for the first time ever. And so, of course, he needs to hear it from her. He won't go unless he hears from her, we're going to be okay. You know?
Yeah. Okay, so we made a whole lot of bold predictions about this movie.
We really did.
What went wrong? What went right?
Who made the most wrong prediction, Michael?
Was it you and me, Sarah?
I don't think it was.
I think it was not us. It was Perna.
What was that prediction that you
I'm
had
going
just been
to save the fact that
year?
I think I made the best prediction that came true as well.
Did
but
Captain
we're going to save that for later.
Did Captain
right
America
now?
Die?
Is Captain America
did
alive
he, in
or
fact,
dead?
Did he or did he not have a wonderful life with Peggy?
Was it exactly what Michael and I have been saying
the
would happen?
The whole time.
What?
Also, who's in charge of this team? Whose name literally has Captain at the front of it?
Yeah, who was in charge?
Who was the last scene of this film?
Who was
right? It was us.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow, I guess we don't really need to go any further.
I was wrong with predictions, but glad we covered that.
Anyway, someone else.
So I was also re-listening to the podcast from last week, and I noticed that you guys talking about the idea of using the time travel to go back to specific spots.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a good prediction. I didn't
know
how the time travel
dream
was going
to be used.
We had talked about it so many times. You may have.
But I thought it was just sort of a good catch on that.
Yay, me. Thank you.
My biggest thing that I thought would happen and didn't is that they went the whole time heist route instead of, my thought was that the gauntlet had been damaged and that Thanos would only be able to access one stone at a time, and that the Avengers would each be able, like, one of them would always be able to beat one of the stones. And that's how they would beat Thanos. So, like, for example, if he was going to use the time stone, that
one of them could somehow defeat
the time stone, that in the comics, like, as Guardians get stronger as they age, so if he tries to make everybody old, Thor becomes stronger. And then, like, each one of them has their own... The ones that were remaining would each have their own specific skill against that.
I was glad with something that I was expecting to happen that it did not, was I was expecting when they first went in that first encounter, which I was expecting, him to still be so strong that he was just going to beat them down again and send them on their way.
I was glad that was not the way that went.
Scene shocked me. Also, it's a great opportunity for him to sing his baritone aria, "I Am Inevitable,"
and then reprise it later.
Yes. I actually really did like that line.
Yeah.
"I Am Inevitable."
Yeah.
You know, we did predict. Like, we really thought that our next villain was going to get introduced in this movie.
Yeah, I did.
And it didn't.
It did not.
Just didn't happen.
I'm glad that didn't happen.
I am too.
We were right about Professor Hulk.
That
was what happened.
But also wrong at the same time.
Yeah, kind of.
Also so wrong.
We were right. Professor Hulk was wrong.
That's probably more accurate.
And then as far as, like, Loki and Vision, I thought that since they were killed in a different way than the most of the people that were snaptured.
Yeah, Jamie had that one all over it.
Ooh, we did all think Gamora was going to get to come back from the stone. And that apparently that is everlasting.
Well, that's because we thought the Soulverse was a thing.
And yeah. I was very satisfied that I was wrong about the Soulverse. I thought that the Soulverse theory was going to be right since the day we saw the first movie.
Well, and Soulverse might also imply that other enemy, like some other person besides Thanos, too.
It could.
Not happening was probably for the best. Both of those.
Absolutely.
Speaking of Soulverse and the snapture and the time, did anybody else think that Ant-Man's daughter aged, like, a lot for just 5 years, given that she was, like, playing with dolls and going down slides 5 years ago?
As a former high school teacher, 12 to 17 is a long time.
Okay, but she didn't seem like a 12-year-old
also
in the other movie. 12-year-olds don't play with dolls.
She
looked like 8.
We'll deal with it at our last question, but they're clearly setting something up. I mean, and we'll deal with it later. Okay. We've already sort of maybe touched on all of these. Were there any characters that have we not mentioned anybody that we thought really was, we've talked about Hulk with maybe an incomplete story arc. Were there any other characters we thought at this point that who have definitely incomplete story? Obviously Gamora now has an incomplete story arc moving forward.
Cough, cough, Thor.
Okay. We'll get there.
I know we're getting there,
Let's go. Here we go.
What?
Fat Thor!
I would like to say
the politically correct term is dad bod Thor.
Dad bod Thor!
Excuse me.
I'd like to say that I have put on a few pounds, Vocal Fam. This is why podcasts are so convenient. You can't tell. But
I sound as skinny as I've ever been.
I can dance.
Ashlyn, you texted me that before my recital. Ashlyn texted me. She's like, Sarah, you're as beautiful as you're ever going to be, and you can dance.
I'm
and
so
I was like,
glad
I can do this now.
But I would just like say I wore a Thor shirt and a hoodie, and I was like, and after the movie, I was like, I'm so glad to represent slightly overweight hoodie wearing Thors everywhere.
Thor did not handle the end of Infinity War very well.
Well, but you know what I liked about it? I said this in the car on the way home last night. I liked his initial reaction and just chopping Thanos' head off.
Yeah.
Like, I liked it. He was in that dark a place.
It's
he was like, I'm not waiting for an answer. I don't care what you have to say. This is over.
Yeah.
Like, if you've destroyed the stones, like, what good are you?
Well, right. And you told me, go for the head. So that's what he did.
But then you get him as a whole person. That doesn't fix it. Yeah. And he has to deal with the aftermath of, I did what I knew to do, and it didn't make it better, and I don't know what to do now.
Yes.
He really didn't.
I'm a failure, but it's okay.
Yeah.
The advice from his mom.
And so, obviously, Thor 4, which we're all hoping is not called Thor.
Or I not Guardians had that thought, and I can never unhear that. He'll definitely be Guardians 3.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's interesting, though. Like, I wonder if Thor 4 will not really be Thor 4, if it will just be a Guardians of the Galaxy movie with Thor. Is that what we were moving toward with Thor Ragnarok? Because it was such possibly. A shift in tone for Thor movies.
He went with them at the end, right?
Yeah.
Well, what you have to remember, I actually was reading up on this. Chris Hemsworth, after the Dark World, was like, listen, people. Mm-hmm. And he sat down with the directors, and they actually took notes, and he asked to be moved in a different direction. That is, he is the reason that Ragnarok was funny, and is the reason that he's out of Civil War as well.
Except a couple things, just sort of inside baseball things.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, because Tessa Thompson has said that she has already been talked to about Thor 4. Mm-hmm. Taika is apparently already written the script. Taika Waititi had been on the shortlist to direct Guardians 3, except James Gunn is now coming back to direct Guardians 3.
Right.
Interesting point about that. Karen Gillan can still not confirm that she's in Guardians 3, which means that Nebula might not be, but she literally said, if I say it, it's a spoiler.
Weird.
So there's something there, and so there's some crossover there that, like, Taika might have directed Guardians 3, but now he's not. He said that's James Gunn's movie. Now James Gunn's back. Taika's probably going to do Thor 4 now. So, like, they may not have known when they wrapped shooting exactly where that was going to go. And so they didn't know what to... Because remember, James Gunn wasn't hired back until this movie had wrapped. Yeah. Fully wrapped.
I want to say shifting about Thor, one, I'm glad they didn't just like magically get rid of his fat.
Yes, yeah. I was really scared Odin was just going to lay his hand on him and all of a sudden.
Interesting braided beard. I like the lightning apparently braids.
I loved it when he got
braids.
Full power, it was braided. Yeah. That was awesome.
That was interesting.
But I'll say this too. You know, I was reading on the internet this morning some people saying it's like they shouldn't have made Thor fat because it's they're making that a joke. But it's like, honestly, that wasn't the point. The point is Thor was a mess.
Yeah, he was depressed. And
he let his body go. It was just like you know, if someone...
But he could still fight.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
The God of Thunder was yelling at 13-year-olds on Fortnite.
Yeah.
Like, right. That was awesome!
NoobTuber69 or whatever.
I will fly to
your house. I will fly to your house.
One of the things I think it's so interesting with... I didn't know which all characters are obviously going to have an arc continuing. Thor is clearly going to now.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Right. And he's one of the characters that just the physicality of the role is more demanding in terms of his keeping in shape, kind of like
he's also
Wolverine.
Younger than almost every one of those actors.
Right. So he certainly can handle.
He has
it
a few
all,
more
but
years.
Then, right, but
yeah.
That was just a little bit of a surprise that they obviously have to pull that off again. I mean, like they have to correct that in some way. I'm assuming.
Right. Yes, I totally agree. I actually thought that was kind of useful though, like.
His character had almost had a complete story arc up until that moment.
Yes.
They could have ended it, and then Infinity War happened. I was actually surprised to see that many Asgardians survived.
Me too.
I didn't think I had no idea. I thought Thor was the last one.
I love Queen Valkyrie. I just want to go ahead and throw that out there.
I love it. Well,
how have we not talked about the awesome moment of just the women of this movie?
Okay,
coming
I was
out
getting
together
there. Yes.
And me and Ashlyn and Sarah, because we were all sitting next to each other and we were like, I can't say what I really said.
Yeah, right. Yes.
So I'm interested in that response because I actually found that somewhat disappointing in this sense. They did the same thing in Infinity Wars, right? A women's battle scene.
Yes.
Right?
A little bit. But
right.
This was much. This went even further.
Right. But what's sort of interesting is immediately preceding that, all the women were coming to help the men, but then none of the men came to help the women out.
Bothers me.
Yeah, right. I mean,
they didn't need help.
Well,
I think that was the point. I really do think that was the point.
But that feels like an overplay of the I don't know.
A little bit
of
force.
I will say, there were several scenes, actually, during the epic battle scene that you could, like, honestly, bordered maybe on cheesy. I mean, just when everybody comes in.
Yes.
But at the same time, it was just on the other side of it where you were just like, yes. And maybe being, I mean, literally just, we are women. And so even though it is a little on the cheesy side, you're just like, yes, you can do it.
Well,
take them down.
And in that regard, just something that I had said to Michael earlier today, in the big battle scene, which we can talk as much about the big battle scene as we want. I didn't really make a note about it. But like, I do think that this movie, I had said this about Infinity War as well. This was like the most these two together are like the most comic booky feeling movies of all time. Like, because this is exactly what a comic book would do. It would be like all of a sudden there would be like a page with all of them on it.
And it was amazing.
You know, and it would be amazing. But like, you know, that was that. Finally, we got that scene where first we got the scene with just a broken shield and Captain America standing against Thanos' entire legions.
And then you get sepia
tones. In sepia tones.
Yeah.
Like it's an image from 300.
It was extraordinary.
You know, like it's like literally like, you know, Leonidas.
There was not one non-CGI frame in that whole scene, and it was beautiful.
It was beautiful. But then they finally just all come out of the portals.
I think they were trying to play to a few moments of trying to recreate comic book scenes. Because even earlier, there was the moment with Thanos in the garden with his suit.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Space potatoes.
Yeah.
Space potatoes.
There are several moments of that movie that, like, if you just took a screenshot, it could very well be a comic book frame.
Exactly.
I think it was very intense.
I was going to say. So. Posters, calendars, all that sort of thing. As the official sponsor of the Wanda fan club, I'm not really the official sponsor, but I could be. But her redemptive moment, and he's like, I don't even know who you are. Oh, you will. Oh,
look, that was so important because I watched Age of Ultron this week. I watched 9 movies this week, y'all. And so, no, sorry, not Age of Ultron. I watched Civil War this week. And Civil War, the beginning of that movie where they're tracking the guy right before Wanda kills all those people by accident, that's the last confident moment we get of her.
That was the thing. Like, when she's fighting him, and then she has that, there's a moment where she falters.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in the end game, she had the moment where she almost falters, which is what had happened in Infinity War. And that's when, you know, he gets her. Whereas in this one, she's out, and then she surges forward, which just kind of shows you, like, it's a confidence thing. Yeah. Which, I mean, makes sense, given her past.
So since we're talking about strong female characters, goodness gracious. Just how powerful is Captain Marvel, and is she too powerful?
It is an interesting point. Like, I'm glad they didn't have her in the movie too much. Because
It would have been over in 5 minutes.
I think I would have gotten annoyed. Like, there were moments where, as much as I love Captain Marvel, I was almost irritated with her because I was like, I know that you're this good, but gosh, you're a little cocky.
She was like, I don't have time for your
for you
crap.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, I get that it's almost deserving, but it was still like just mildly annoying.
I love how all the Marvel movies play fast and loose with how strong characters are. Like Captain Marvel or Captain America could have struggles fighting with a human, but then can also be up against Thanos in his fight.
Right.
And so Captain Marvel comes through that whole ship,
destroys the sanctuary everything. Just like in 2 seconds,
and then can't quite get through the crowd.
Right. That is a good point.
Yeah.
And Thanos like headbutts her, and she's just like, "What?"
That was awesome.
Yes. That was a good moment.
That was awesome.
My issue, and it may just be that they're moving towards more of the like cosmic demigod level powers.
But I
think you're going to see a phase out of the
humans.
Of the humans that aren't just like super metahuman.
Well, that was my point about Natasha.
And exactly. She's irrelevant in a world where most of them are irrelevant in a world where Captain Marvel exists.
Unless they're Nick Fury.
But it makes an interesting point of like how important is it then that Falcon gets. Like, Falcon's going to be Captain America. Like, he doesn't even have the serum that Captain America had to make him a little more than human.
So, Mark Swallow, who wanted to be on the podcast today as well, wanted us to make definite reference to Sam. And we haven't even dealt with Cap yet. We're going to deal with Cap in a second.
But
here
it is. Like, if we're phasing out those type fighters, I mean, Falcon, War Machine, Hawkeye. I mean, I get that Hawkeye's great, but like,
retiring.
All these people that are just humans... And yet at the same time, we seem to be placing this special, giving them attention. How are they going to
match
up?
But not just are we phasing out the humans, who is going to be able to pose a sufficient threat to Captain Marvel level characters.
Galactus.
Exactly. Like you're limiting yourself into who you can have as villains. Well, like Ronan's no longer a threat.
They
you couldn't have a movie with him.
They have to end this dumb franchise at some point. And so at some point,
do they though?
They have to come up. Look. This is sort of. Well, let's deal with it when we get ahead.
So, isn't the movie that's after Spider-Man that's planned right now? Isn't that a kung fu movie? Haven't
what?
No,
what?
I don't think so.
I promise I'm
a
right.
A kung fu movie? I'm so revved about this.
I'll work on this.
What's
Give
the possibility that Loki's gonna come back because of him stealing the Tesseract? Like,
no, that's what we were saying
that
earlier.
They didn't address.
In his show. In his
There's
show.
A TV show. There's gonna
He's
be a Loki
his own
TV
Disney
show.
Plus show.
What if he becomes like a villain?
Again.
I was gonna say he already won.
I mean, I think that the chances of him being like a mobster anti-hero.
Honestly, that would make sense that he would be a villain
movie?
Again.
What?
Because
you guys
Shang-Chi.
Really?
Do you know that one?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, so I mean, it's I found pictures at one
regarding,
point. It's a kung fu movie.
So between that and also talking about like phasing out human characters, I actually disagree on one. Well, I'll say it's like what place do they have? I would like to say that's the point of Spider-Man. Spider-Man is the on-the-ground character. He is the human character. Like he's the... friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. He's
well,
let me say, you know what I'm saying?
But there
and Black Panther.
There are times though that like in the comic books that Spider-Man can come close to rivaling the Hulk, like strength wise.
Yes.
He's not just a
right,
human
but he's
character.
but he's a kid. But the Spider-Man
but
they're portraying is a kid. You
this
know?
Actually brings up a thought I'd had. Not it's kind of Spider-Man, but it also goes back to the Tony thing. Without Tony, I mean I get that we have introduced several kind of genius level characters. But Tony definitely functioned in that, like...
That's because we're making room for a very specific character named Reed Richards.
I don't even know who that is, but, like, he gave some of these people, like, a huge part...
She said that. She just said that.
Okay.
A huge part of Spider-Man's, I mean, fighting abilities in this movie is the suit.
Yes.
When he's fighting all those people. Or War Machine. What is War Machine without the suit? What is Hulk without Hulkbuster? Well, I mean... Bruce Banner without
He's the
Hulk Buster. I know. I realized, like, wait. I mean Bruce Banner. You know what I mean? Like, such a huge part of the Avengers and their ability to fight has been Tony and his ability to produce technology. And so without that, I just feel like there's a big
gap.
Well,
not only his weapons, but his strategy and all that, too. Like,
yeah.
We also don't know at what point they made the decision, okay, we're definitely killing Tony. It could have been like, okay, the Fox deal is definitely going through. We are definitely getting the fan... But Reed Richards is the head of the Fantastic Four.
Okay, I just thought about... Is he the...
He's the leader of the Fantastic Four.
Okay.
And so, like, we're definitely getting Reed Richards back.
Senor Fantastico.
And, I mean, Reed Richards is definitely Tony's equal. I mean,
well,
for sure.
Is that why they were placing so much emphasis on, like, the raccoon being smart?
Well, I mean, yeah. What? Space people are smart. I mean,
I just thought, like, that is an interesting gap they will have to fill because... You know, the technology continues to advance so quickly in these movies.
And it will advance to a point that will overtake the team thanks to Victor Von Doom.
One last point about Captain Marvel before we get too far away and just God-level characters. I just want to say that they dealt with Captain Marvel in this movie exactly how a comic book deals with that character. They just make them go away for a while.
They did a thing.
Yeah.
They did a thing. They go away.
It was impossible.
Right. They come back. They do
Gandalf
another thing.
Gandalf went to scout the mine.
And it's like, and you know what?
Right.
And
then he comes back later.
It's like, this is an issue with the source material, not an issue with anything related to a film. And so it's like, well, all right. They did what they can do. They did what the comic books did. All right, move on.
And then
on.
They
needed
to blow
story.
Up this giant ship. Well, who's going to blow up this giant
Captain
ship?
Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's time.
It's time.
It's time.
I embarrassed basically myself
and everybody who came to see the movie with you.
And everyone who was with us last night when my biggest prediction and honestly the one thing that I was really hoping for.
I think we all really hoped for this.
We all did.
In this movie came to fruition. And as soon as I saw Thor call for Mjolnir in Asgard, I thought, this is happening. This is happening. And then it was just building and I could feel my chest keep starting to bump when we get the fight with the big three and they're there and Thor and the lightning is happening and the lightning is happening.
I am curious, like, as you're sitting next to him.
I would like to physically show you the shaking that was happening next to me. The hands twitching, the up and down motion. So excited.
You knew he was going to yell.
It was coming.
And then everybody's knocked down. Thor's about to die.
Oh,
Stormbreaker's about to go through Thor's chest. And Mjolnir comes, and it doesn't just hit Thanos. It's not that Cap just picked it up.
But called it back. And then he shot lightning out of it! And it was glorious.
It really was. Like, that was a great moment, I will admit. Like, oh my,
and then
satisfying.
Within 2 minutes, we thought Cap was gone. We thought he was going
to
get stabbed.
Well, for like the next 30 to seconds to 60 seconds, like, Cap just unloads on
amazing.
Thanos. Like, I finally have a weapon. I'm going to let loose on this
dude.
He was
awesome. Worthy.
Yes.
And then, yeah, Thor's line.
Oh, yes, I knew you were worthy. I knew it. All he said was,
I knew it.
That was it. Yeah.
And I loved the moment where, like, they ended up with each other's, and Thor was like,
No.
You take the little one.
Just, oh, no.
Oh, especially because it had been teased in Ultron.
Right.
We almost saw it budge. Oh, it was just so gratifying. That really was. Oh,
like,
man.
Like, if we had to lose
fan
Cap,
service done right.
It was, yes. That was fan service done really well.
Well, I mean,
yes.
That's just, like, all the confirmation you need of Steve Rogers' character and why he's, like, the leader. Is that you could make your argument in Age of Ultron, like, oh, yeah, we think he could have moved it and he was just being a nice guy. Well, now you know.
He can move
it. Or his character developed because he was, you know, it's like he was just not there yet.
That's true. I hadn't thought about that.
Because that's my thing with Cap, is watching him develop, you know? It's like, okay, now he's at the point.
I did love when they go back and Cap meets past Cap. Oh. And he's like, I can do this all day. I know.
And that was real. It's like you finally get to experience how annoying you actually are.
Yeah.
Like, I really enjoyed, just like, again, as an outsider perspective, like, because I don't really know the whole backstory. Like, I knew Thor had the hammer. He's supposed to be the only one who could lift it. So I didn't really get... So I thought that maybe when he was like, I knew it, because Cap had the hammer, I was like, what does this mean? Is he an alien too? I don't know. And so I really didn't know. And so we're walking back to our car across the parking lot last night. And I'm like, hey, so wait, why was Captain America able to pick up the hammer? And Sarah and Jamie but just was yell, he was worthy!
Turns out he's also Hydra.
And we're not going to talk about the other line, but I love the hammer.
I was about to say, how did we not talk about America?
That is America.
We can't talk about that. But I do love that we got the Hail Hydra line, which
made an important comic moment.
Very controversial.
Yeah, so huge deal.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that was the climax for me, for sure, was Cap. And
we all know.
I've never literally punched the air in a movie theater.
Sure?
I mean... No, I've never punched the air in a movie theater before.
I think your whole body left the seat for a second. I'm going to be honest with you.
Probably did.
Upward motion. Somehow levitated.
He took off.
He had the space stone. He took off.
Maybe I'm worthy. Maybe I'm worthy. No.
The movie's worthy and it lifted you.
We've gone too far. It's time to come back.
All right. So.
Speaking of Cap, though.
Yes.
His ending.
Okay, let's talk about
that. Because, I mean, we talked about how Michael and Eric,
right? Geez.
But also, I think we just have to talk about... just... well, no, just... That, like, Cap didn't die.
My heart was pounding out of my chest for a second, though, because I thought Thanos was going to stab him with that thing when he was lying down.
Yes. But, like, Cap goes back, and I think... I don't know about y'all, but, like, there's something, like, when he goes, and when he tells Bucky, like, no, not you, you're like, oh, you're not coming back. This is intentional. And I...
Yeah. Well, and I love that they didn't even put a time marker up. You just got the, when I saw that old car, the old car drives by, I was like, this is it.
Yeah.
That's it. Man. Yeah.
Well, and I love the, like, he didn't even go back to, because I think we had kind of guessed that it would go back maybe to right after the ice, but no, like, it was still, you know, further down the line. Like, Peggy has gone a good bit of time without him.
Well, and he's so much older.
Yes. Which is good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what an ending. I know a lot of people are upset about that ending.
Oh, no.
And I don't have nearly as much investment in the characters as, you know, a lot of other people do. But I was like, I think that's nice to give him, like, he actually got a real life. And
I think it's also sort of an interesting cultural reflection. As we're thinking of comic books, and that sort of being one of the early American comic book heroes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thinking back, that's why we still enjoy going to see comic book things, because of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My prediction pre-movie was that the scenes with that they had been teased with, like, him and Peggy, where it's just going to be him in a moment in the timeline having to make a choice not to choose a life with her.
I thought that too.
That would have been.
But I have never been more happy to be wrong.
Yes.
No.
That would have been
the fact
mean.
That Cap and Peggy got their dance was...
That's like, that was the perfect ending.
Yeah, it was.
To this saga.
Particularly of these two movies together.
Yeah.
Or even of the... I think it's also important to remember that the Russos have directed four movies. Winter Soldier, Civil War, Infinity War, Endgame.
So they've really been telling the story of Captain America.
They've
in
really
some way.
Been telling That's the story true. Of Captain America.
Right.
For
like
four
this
movies.
Wasn't this was an Iron Man movie, but
on
a broader scale, they've been only really interested in telling the Captain America story.
Right.
That's a good story.
I mean, even to the point of passing on the shield.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like important enough to them to deal with that.
And for the first time, I would like to say how important a moment it is that we now finally have a Captain America who's a person of color.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and it definitely sets up where their TV show is going to go.
Obviously.
The direction that's going to take.
Which I'm very much looking forward to now.
Yes. I'm looking forward to all the Marvel TV shows coming.
Why would you like WandaVision? I mean, what interest would you have in that show?
Yeah, I have never heard you say anything about WandaVision.
Confused as well.
Well, what interest would
Those
you
have? Those are very bland characters, aren't they?
You're all bad people. This is going to be an amazing TV show. It's whatever. Can't stand y'all. All
right, so for the future of the MCU, what is the most anticipated thing we're looking for?
Are there more
for?
Black Panther movies?
Yes.
I
love Shuri. She's
there
my favorite.
There will definitely be...
Listen, you definitely were very excited when she came back.
I will say, T'Challa's entrance last night was pretty great.
That was good.
That was great.
Well, I remember even before that, I was thinking, I was like, why are they not having this battle in Wakanda? Like, that's obviously, like, you got so many warriors there. Like, so I was really happy when they showed up.
I was very happy when Stephen Strange flew through the portal. Not that he wasn't already making the portal. Yes, no one was confused.
Although, okay, he did have an epic moment, though, with the, like, I don't know, was it a dam that broke or just the water?
The water.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a dam or just water coming somehow. They were going to get flooded.
No.
People were going to drown, but Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange was like, bam.
Yeah, it kind of seems like
he's so
rid
powerful,
of him
it just it gives him something to do.
Yeah, okay.
Win the battle.
I'm glad you said that. Minutes. So, almost on the Captain Marvel thinking, I'm really glad, though, in a way, that it's set up the fact that up to this point, other than Thanos, if you look at the comics, the most powerful villain that we've had has been Dormammu.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Dormammu is a super powerful villain. I mean, Ego, okay, yes. But Dormammu, like, literally rules a realm of the universe.
Right.
Yeah.
And Stephen Strange defeated him in his first movie.
Right.
And so I thought it was a great homage that even though he's only had one solo movie and he wasn't really in this movie, that we got the Ancient One saying he's supposed to be the best of us all.
I thought that was a good moment.
That scene
very
was wonderful.
It was wonderful.
But then if we were talking about where things are going to go from here, earlier somebody had mentioned that they think they're going to miss the Spider-Man Tony, like, repartee.
Oh, yeah, you were
going to think it's done.
That, you see that kid that's just randomly at Tony's feet.
Yeah, we had to Google who he was on the way back because is it?
It's the kid from Iron Man 3 that Tony...
In Tennessee?
The funeral. The kid from the funeral.
The kid from the funeral.
Yes.
Did I say that wrong? Anyway.
The kid from Iron Man 3 who?
The kid who
the
saved
one
him.
Tennessee.
There's this weird, like, just kid
who
standing
outfits,
by himself at Tony's funeral.
And then he outfits his entire garage. Tony
right.
outfits his entire...
Because
he calls in the mechanic.
Exactly. Okay. So I think
also
that you've
goes
got...
goes to my theory here. I'll share in a second.
Since Iron Man's the most important, that's the one I've thought about the most.
Okay.
But,
You
so
did present a legal argument as
several,
to why he was the MVP of this
several
movie.
Several people who could become the next Iron Person... Shuri would be a great candidate.
Would be a great
but
candidate.
She's so good in her own right, I don't think that she needs Iron
no.
Man. You could potentially have Pepper do it, but Gwyneth Paltrow is kind of getting up there, and I don't know if she wants she's to be done. In a superhero movie.
I was going to say, I think she's done. So she's okay.
The next, like, obvious heir would be that kid who's now recurring in this movie at the funeral. And I think that you then have a similar Spider-Man, Iron Man dynamic, but role reversed, where Peter Parker is now the mentor, and he gets his own little...
To set up the feature film of the Young Avengers.
Exactly.
Did anybody think Peter Parker was going to become the mentor to Iron Man's daughter? Because that's what I was expecting.
Also possible. It's also possible that she could be
because
Iron
that's
Man.
That's true.
Because she loves the mask so we'll have, and the little thingy.
So we'll have Ant-Man's daughter... Okay.
Right.
Who aged a lot?
We'll probably have
Hawkeye's daughter.
Hawkeye's daughter.
Oh yeah.
We will have Maria's daughter.
Who?
Are you talking about
in Captain Marvel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't even think about her. But yeah.
We'll have possibly Peter as their leader,
right?
You know, so basically, I think they obviously whether they're confirmed they're going to do it or not yet, they wanted to make sure that the door was open that they could
or introduced
that they could do the Young Avengers.
Have
basically.
You all seen that thing on the internet where they say it says. Have you ever noticed that in every scene, in every interview where Peter Parker's not talking, he looks like he's hiding a frog in
his
mouth?
Yes, I have!
Because he's kind of just like, his mouth just kind of comes out just a little just bit. So it looks like he's hiding a frog in his mouth. Like,
it really does.
Like all the time.
I've
go back
probably
and watch.
Just trying to not
spoil anything or laugh. It's hilarious.
I love all the interviews that he's in with some other cast member, and he just looks at him like, is it okay if I answer this one? Okay. Don't let me say something dumb.
And then everybody still does!
Meanwhile, Mark Ruffalo...
Hold my... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
All right, moving on.
So, the one other thing with Spider-Man, based on my Wikipedia research, which is good research according to everything, right?
obviously.
all of the people in this room except for Jamie took research and writing with me, so they're going to say, of course Wikipedia is good.
And I'm sure they've all been in a class with me where I pulled up Wikipedia in class to answer a question at some point in time.
anyway, moving on.
So the Spider-Man movie is the last of Phase 3.
Yes,
which
is it
interesting is. As sort of a.
That's why I think we might get a Tony scene.
Which I think is, yeah, right. I'm
in
kind of with
Spider-Man.
That. And then that Shang-Chi, or however you pronounce it, that one is the first of Phase 4, which could be all sorts of new characters that we don't even imagine right now. Just to throw that out there.
Absolutely. I think we're also, in general, in Phase 4, going to see a lot more representation overall.
That's a good point.
In general.
I want to see an Asian character. Vocal Fry people, you know I'm Korean, right? This is like a radio show. And is that what we call it? It's an audio medium.
You can't see us.
And I sound not, you know, I was raised by white people.
Oh, it's Michael. As a superhero.
That is so Michael. Racist. I would definitely be throwing cheeseburgers and fried chicken.
I'm just saying.
I mean, let's be real here.
Yeah,
that's true. And pot and kimchi, you know?
Cheeseburgers and kimchi.
Yeah. Anyways.
You and I have actually maybe had our own kimchi on burgers.
Yes, delicious.
Anyway.
The kimchi we made.
Moving on.
But I would love to see an Asian character not play... Eastern character,
like a ninja,
play a ninja, or like even Wong.
But
Wong's great.
You've talked about like an Asian Spider-Man, and I love Tom Holland, so I don't want him replaced.
He's great, but it's
but it would have been a really cool character choice.
That kind of idea where it's the reason. How do I say this? Asian characters don't always have to play token Asian roles, like. Now you're a ninja.
Guess my point about representation also is specifically that I hope that for a while anyway, we're done with super ego powerful dude who has to learn self-sacrifice. Because let's face it, that we basically heard that story.
Although that does make for a good character.
Jamie.
Except.
Captain America never had to learn that.
Yeah, we've never seen any of that.
No, but Thor, Iron Man, Doctor Strange... I mean, it's
it's
white
a thing.
People,
it's a
white man learning to be human.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Well, you know, glad they're learning.
Anyway, I think
that happens sometimes.
Obviously, I'm very anticipated of both Guardians 3, which I think is like 5 years out, and I'm very excited, obviously, about Black Panther 2, Doctor Strange 2. I think they're all very exciting. I think the thing that I'm still most excited about is probably for the next decade, we will head towards the Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. We will get the Fantastic. We will get the first family back in the MCU, and which means we will get Victor Von Doom.
And at last, maybe we'll get a Silver Surfer movie that he finally
interesting.
Deserves.
Well, maybe.
And hopefully a well-done,
but
fantastic
counterpoint
movie.
To what we were talking about earlier with the Captain Marvel discussion, even if the superheroes are going cosmic and these demigod-like figures, Victor Von Doom's probably the best villain of all time. And, I mean, arguably. I mean, you could make
and he's human.
And he's a dude who can just think real good.
Well, yeah. I mean, wasn't that Tony Stark?
Right,
I mean,
right.
Maybe those are the argument for the fact that, like, we can't ever really phase out just our human characters because
well, and we're gonna
we've seen
lose
what they
people
can do.
Because, like, our dear friend Dottie did say earlier, I said, I don't want to spoil it. She said, you're not going to spoil anything. I got confused because the last movie I watched
had a talking raccoon
in it. So, I mean, I'm just saying, like, the average person is going to watch these movies. And if it's only, like my mom, if it's only purple people with six arms and raccoons, then, you know, she's not going to watch it. It's going to lose her, you know?
Well, and it is hard to jump in at this point because Leah with us over the past weeks has watched the occasional like Marvel movie, but we watched Infinity War first and then we went back and watched the first Avengers movie and she's like, whoa. She was like, this is so like, there's not as many people. Like, why didn't we start here? And I was like, oh, you make a good point.
At this point, like if you were to try to join the franchise, you would
hard.
Have to have a 60 something hour investment or
yep.
more that
to
yeah,
understand
whatever it is.
All the characters, because
right,
we're sitting there trying
to explain
to them
it.
To her.
And not only do you have to have the time and willpower to invest that, you have to then find out how to like watch them correctly in order.
I have a feeling that Phase 4, is that what we're in? Phase
yes,
4?
Yes, we're just about to start Phase 4
I have
4
a feeling
soon.
Phase 4 is going to fix that on purpose. I really believe that that's the point. I believe that that's why Endgame is what it is. It's why there's no post credits or mid credits scene, because they want to send the message, this is final and we're going to start something yeah. new. Because this new Spider-Man movie, it's another Spider-Man movie. Spider-Man is all things American. You know what I mean? Everyone knows who Spider-Man is.
Yeah.
And aside from that, you know, and so I just
he's
really
America's
believe they're going
to cinnamon roll.
He is America's cinnamon roll.
Even though he's British.
Doesn't even matter. Don't even
Tom
care.
Tom Holland is Britain's cinnamon roll.
Okay, just
Peter Spider-Man is America's cinnamon roll.
That's a good point. He makes a good point.
Listen, when you made Tobey Maguire your first Spider-Man, and I know that was like Marvel.
Sony made Tony Maguire.
Yeah, whatever.
Sony
sucked.
Yes, they made Into the Spider-Verse.
I still haven't watched that.
Neither have I.
Need to watch that.
Well, yeah,
I've heard
it's
really
amazing.
Good.
Apparently, it's really good.
It is really good.
Yeah, sorry.
It got really good reviews.
Sorry,
and stuff.
Vocal Fam.
We didn't watch that.
We had like projects and.
Craig Young really liked
Ashlyn
it.
Ashlyn watched
you know,
it.
Out of the blue.
Now that
and she approves.
Over, we could watch it.
We should probably review Into the Spider-Verse
yeah.
just to have done that.
Yeah.
It's got a great storyline, great diversity of characters, a really great soundtrack, and really interesting graphics.
Yes.
So if you like those things, you'll like the movie.
It is the most artistic.
Just if you like
good
so movies, good. That's what that
I
sounded
promise,
like.
I promise, Vocal Fam, that I'm not going to go pull the Vormir soundtrack to open this podcast with, because that would
you
be...
You thought about it, didn't
I
you?
I just did, just now.
And I may.
Can't.
He probably will. Promise is meaningless. I may
no.
No, this episode is going to start with me and Sarah going, we were right!
Yes, this episode is going to start with the two of you going, we were right.
I mean, we were.
Anyway.
It's like we're walking into the theater and you're just like, I'm just ready for Cap to die.
I
mean,
for weeks now.
Cap did leave a lot closer to death, though, than I feel like he has probably predicted, right? He was old.
I mean, just
we,
the right
I
amount.
Mean, I was surprised.
The right amount close to death.
We said he was going to go live out his days.
Oh, okay.
We actually,
I actually, honestly, when they turned in the movie, when we were in the theater and they said, what's that over there? I thought that they were going to point to Cap's gravestone.
I thought it was going to be some sort of...
I thought they were going to see his tombstone
yeah,
under a tree and go,
I agree.
Here's Cap.
wow, he never came back. And, you know, to have some sort
goodness
of
gracious.
That's what I thought.
I definitely thought that too.
Yeah, but and so.
But
so
it makes sense because, I mean, he's superhuman. Like, he should live long.
Yeah, and prosper.
Yeah, oh, I almost said
oh,
that.
Oh, jeez.
That's a different franchise. Jamie, I'm going to kick you out. Don't make faces at me.
I love you.
Looking forward to watching Star Trek The Next Generation, this highlights this summer.
Oh, so much.
Highlights only.
Bye. Oh, darn. Did
but
I say I was going to do that?
Highlights, well, they're not all highlights.
Look, you were wrong again.
Definitely not all highlights.
Sarah, what did you have for breakfast?
What? I don't remember. Oh, I remember. I had a chocolate croissant. I was not
That's a fitting
this
breakfast the day after a recital.
That thing, I was like, I deserve this.
Did you sing Ned Rorem's early in the morning while you had your croissant and cafe au lait?
No.
Oh.
Oh, did you have a morning after a recital and being up that late watching Endgame? Or did you?
No, I was so mad. I woke up at 6:30.
Oh.
And
yeah.
Could not go back to sleep.
Yeah, she did.
I was up at 5:45 to take my kids to school.
I mean, I had to, too.
But I could have slept in.
Guys,
I had the option.
Vocal fam, something you don't know is that I wrote a bunch of jingles for this show that I never proceeded to record. So here, I'm going to teach everyone. Here's the what did Sarah have for breakfast jingle. You ready? We're all going to do it together. It goes, what did Sarah have for breakfast? Here we go. Let's all do it together. Ready, go. What did Sarah have for breakfast?
Wow, I definitely expected Michael to be the only one to sing that even the second time.
I was really surprised. I thought I was going to be alone.
Y'all have way more commitment than I do.
Thanks for being my friends. I thought I was going to be alone.
Did you have one for takeaways?
What?
Did you have a jingle for takeaways?
No, I could never get to one because takeaways are so important, but then the jingle got too long.
Oh,
so.
Okay. All right. Well, then we are at the time for takeaways. So here we go. Anybody, hop in.
I am Iron Man.
Ah!
Jamie, we are Groot? What?
It's been really long. I'm going to go watch Lost.
Wait, Leah. It's very fitting. Just like all things have to end, Endgame, Leah and I, we're through. We've done it.
Well, I thought
friendship
was ended.
Yeah, that too.
We're done.
Yeah.
We're through.
I mean, we have
it was just
word.
A grad school thing. it was just
you
a grad school.
You should find a new place
you know.
To live. No. I just meant that we had finished our master's.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we still have, like a class this week,
yeah,
but...
You mean you have to turn
have
in a project for me?
Yeah, but in a bigger...
Yeah, what are you going to do, fail us?
No, we're going to turn in our project,
but
in a bigger sense,
so
we're
need
done.
So to stand by academic integrity right now.
I'm the one who reminded them of their project.
No, I've known. I just, you know, wanted to get through everything else, but like...
I just haven't done it.
These things end. All things end. It is ended. We are done. Goodbye, MC.
Wow.
I got a little darker than I meant for it to. With a smile all at the same time.
But this movie taught us that endings don't have to be sad.
Ooh, that gave me a feel. I'm
not
going to cry.
No. Michael?
I just want to say that I love all of these people here. And there are friends that you have to, it takes a while to catch back up with. And then there are friends that it's like, oh, I've been gone for a week.
Yeah.
And these people are friends where I'm like, oh, I've been gone for a week. That's nice. It's been a really long week.
It's true. It's like you just walked back in.
Yeah.
Michael's here.
It's been so nice. So find friends for whom it's only a long week.
Oh, my. You want to share a takeaway? Anything?
Anytime I see something like this that's sort of just a great piece of art, I'm always interested in kind of what makes it work with those things. And one of the things I found interesting with this one was the idea of how you just had to sit with the dark for so long in this movie. And everything became okay later, but you just had to sit with it.
Yeah.
And just be okay with it. And that's hard to do, especially as a composer, as a performer, to just sit, resting, waiting. Anyway, that's what I got.
Mahler.
I like it.
Mahler.
Yeah.
And one for Mahler.
I already talked. Why
are
you pointing at me?
That was your takeaway.
That was
That's
it.
Right.
I'm terrible at takeaways. That's not my thing.
All right. Well, sort of to echo Michael.
I dropped my mic.
Sort of to echo Michael's thoughts before Leah leaves the room to watch.
So Leah is slowly rolling away from
in
the
a
rest
rolling
of
chair.
Let's roll the table to her. Not really. That was a joke.
I just wanted to say, as this is sort of probably the the not our last episode.
Is this the end of season
two? No, but this is everything from here on out is sort of season 2.5. Because
this is Civil War.
This
after
is the
this.
Season. This is the yeah. It's Avengers 2.5 yeah. after this.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And Team Cap.
Team Sarah.
Ooh.
Everyone's picking Team Sarah.
I was thinking, am I contractually obligated to be Team Perna? Like, that was my thought. Continue. Tell us your thing.
I just want to thank all of you who in these first two seasons of Vocal Fry have been on the podcast. Michael and Sarah for starting it with me, and then at the end of last season, Ben for jumping in for the Avengers episode, and then Leah for this whole season being our regular host, and Ashlyn jumping
just
in anytime
been in
we asked you to, and Jamie
for being comic relief.
So dumb, but also I love you.
On the podcast, I am eye candy. So,
because no one
that
can see
is a
you.
Resume moment. That's like on a TV show. It's like Jamie podcast eye candy. You know,
face for podcast.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, I just want to say thank you all, and I'm just
and
very
also Phoebe and Mark Swallow.
What
and Phoebe
oh, yes.
and Mark Swallow who of have also jumped seasons. In who over our first two seasons who are not here with us tonight but who are here in spirit. Mark specifically because he wanted to give Sam Wilson a big shout out for being right about Sam getting the shield and not Bucky. So
he was
right. And he was right. And I just want to say thank you to all you people. And thank you, Vocal Fam, for making our weird, weird world what it is.
Thank you for listening to us talk for an hour and a half as
yeah.
well.
There's 100 of you that regularly listen
there,
to us.
We had 800 downloads last month. And right. so, I mean...
Baffling.
That's,
where are y'all?
Those can't bots. All, they, those can't all be bots.
None of those are me.
Yeah, I think some Russian bots got loose.
We know that there's a good deal of you in the United Kingdom who are listening. We know there's a good amount of you
if
in
you
Australia who are listening.
If you want me to come visit you, let me know.
Canada, very faithful audience.
Vocal
I can
Fry
say
does
that.
Quebec. Vocal Fry does
go,
UK.
Leah, go!
She's
slowly
gone.
Backing
she
away.
Leah's like an episode of like Parks and Rec right now where like Ron is like slowly moving his office chair like away from someone who's
slowly
coming.
Swiveling.
He's slowly. Anyway, so that's it. We'll be probably back. We'll do an episode next week.
I was
going to
say, we'll have an episode. It's not like we're going anywhere.
No,
there really won't be the same sort of hiatus this
no,
summer that we had previously.
No. It's just... We had to do a big Avengers
episode.
It's an episode.
Ending, if sorts. Because
yeah.
everything has to have an ending.
Oh, part of the goodbye, journey is the end.
Love.
Exactly.
Goodbye, love.
Okay.
Wait,
we'll see you guys next
happening.
Week.
All right.
All
it's
right.
time to go.
Peace out.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Near, far, wherever you are, I believe that the harder...